I was thinking coming over here. Years ago, they used to they had this meeting this time for many years. Then they got to where they was having it. I forget what time of the month, but it was Monday night and all day Tuesday. Brother Bob Weldon was preaching, and it got on. Amen. Well, you knew Brother Bob, he's blind in one eye, and he come around this way. Or Brother Ernest did, and he come that way. And I said, man, that's going to be a tackle right here in the church.
Keep talking, man. Just turn your mic on.
Before. I didn't know how to turn the thing on. I was
you
looking at it.
Shot you. I'll turn it back on.
All right.
Woo!
That that's good. And anyhow, boy, it was good. Somebody said, I don't believe in that at church. Well, at scripture, the Bible said they're running and leaping and praising God. I tell you, we need to get some of these starts out of these Baptists. Amen. Yeah. They get excited at the ball game. I did, man. My little great-grandson, he turned a triple play the other night. Amen. Boom, boom, boom. Man, I got excited. Amen. And then even more that weekend, I got to baptize him. I had my three generations there, my son, my grandson, and my great-grandson. Amen. And I tell you, then I hear around, if you allow me to say this, around Valentine's Day, I heard this. I'm sure you probably heard this one, but this old-timer had his Liberty overalls on. He's way up in his 70s, you know. Took his wife to the doctor and said, Doc, something's wrong with her. He said, well, let me examine her and see what's going on. So he took her blood pressure and some blood and examined her, you know, and he said, I found your problem. He said, you did? He said, yeah, I found your problem. He said, she needs more affection. The old-timer said, affection? What do you mean? He said, hold her hand, love on her, kiss her, you know. Old man looked at him kind of strange, you know, and he said, would you want me to show you? He said, yeah. That old doc just put a lip lock on her, amen. He said, now she needs that at least twice a week. He said, I'll bring her in on Tuesdays and Thursdays, amen. Amen. Well, the Bible said a merry heart doth good like a medicine. I tell my people, you better laugh while you can. You know, crying. There'll be enough crying down the road. And let me see if I can find here something. I thought about so many things. I guess I could preach over these years. But, boy, these old ones are kind of staying with me. And I tell you, God has been good to our church. But, you know, it's going through what some a lot of churches that preach. And I don't mean that all churches don't preach, but a lot of times if you've not got activities and everything going on, you can't keep the younger folks, amen. I'm glad I got some, and I'm glad I got one couple especially that sees the need for the spiritual things of God. And my brother had a gallbladder attack. I was going to baptize my grandson, or great-grandson, and so we just asked that young man, he's about 13 year old, to lead the singing. And so that's what he did. And boy, I tell you what, I'm glad for that family in the church. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn to the book of John, chapter number 12. John, chapter number 12. Also, I've had to have cataract surgery. And now it's the other one. I should have let it 2 weeks later do the other one. But I was right in the middle of grass cutting. They lied to me. They said there won't be nothing to it. And then when I got through, they said, now you can't pick up nothing over 10 pounds for 2 weeks. I said, now how in the heaven you expect me to do that? I said, I've got to cut grass and there's weed eater. And they said, no, there won't be none of that. And so I've been trying to, I thought I'd get ahead of it here. And so I made me an appointment. It's going to be a month before they get to me. And it's going to be 2 days after turkey season come in. Amen. My gun weighs more than 10 pounds. Amen. And if I was to kill a turkey, I hope it'd weigh more than 10 pounds. Amen. So anyway, I don't know. But boy, the Lord's been good to me. Amen. And I praise Him for what He has done for me. Amen. Here in the book of John, it's a very familiar patch of scripture. The book of John, chapter 12, verse 1. Then 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Now, you know, I like biblical words, don't you? If you don't, this modern things has changed. It is breakfast, dinner, supper. I said something other about We was going to have dinner at church, and my wife said, you better specify that. I said, well, everybody knows when dinner is. It's in the middle of the day. So I told them that day. Man come to me and said, I'm glad you straightened that out. And said, I'd have come in here tonight. I said, man, where you been all these years? Said, they made him a supper. Amen. Breakfast, dinner, and supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair. Can I just say this right here and just move on? Some women have a lot of trouble with that today. I just say that and go on now. Wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was there put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burial has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Boy, my grandboy got saved. He'd made a profession, but he got saved. And one of the men he worked with in the mine, he told him, he said, well, I knew something was different with you. Amen. Praise God, it ought to be different when you get saved. Amen. And the Bible said, whom he had raised from the dead, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on him. I want to say, my friends here, I want you to go back in your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter number 14. Is this the mic? Okay. All right. Mark chapter 14. I just want to read one verse to kind of give you our text this morning. Mark chapter number 14, and I believe it's about verse number 8. The Bible said, she has done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burial. I just want to talk to you on a very simple thought this morning. Have you done what you could? Have you done what you could? Father, it's so good to be in your house this morning. Thank you for the safe travel over here. Lord, I thank you that this church is still carrying on this camp meeting after all of these years, Lord. How much help have I got from coming over here these many years? Lord, I'm glad you worked it out. And I pray that you'd be with Coach Larry Mims this morning, God. He told his family, just give up. Oh, God, would you strengthen him? Be with another a boy that played ball with me, God. They're going to have to open him up tomorrow about his heart. It just 20% is working. God, there's so much. So many people's got needs. But, Lord, I'm glad that we got a God. You said we could approach the throne of grace to find help in a time of need. God, would you help us this morning? Bless this church. Bless these ladies for all the labor that they do. Oh, God, you've been so kind, so good to me. Help me now, God. Would you touch me and be a blessing this morning in Jesus' name? Amen. Have you done what you could? I thought about Lazarus because by reason of him, many, many had believed. Now, I know down through the years you heard me say this, but I went to work in the woods with a man, a Free Will Baptist deacon by the name of Brother Herman Sanford. Who'd have thought that God would put me out there by a man that had the goods? Amen. And I want to tell you what, it didn't take me long how to figure out there's something different with him than with me. And boy, listen, I'm glad God put him in my life. Amen. Now, I went to him one day when I worked in the woods. They called me TJ. He said, come on in, TJ. And so I went in and sat down and we talked a little bit. You know, and he said, well, why you come over here? And I said, well, Brother Herman, I worked for you for 15 years. I said, I've never told you this, but I said, I want to let you you know that because of the life that you live, God spoke to me and I got saved. He dropped his head. Here's what he said. He said, far as I know, you're the only one. Boy, I'm glad I was one of them. Oh, amen. I'm going to tell you what, if it's just one. But boy, listen, have you done what you could? Now, I believe everybody here this morning would really own up to the fact that you wish you could do more. Dr. John Hull, he come through our area several years in a row preaching camp meeting. Brother Hull was the one you either loved him or hated him. Amen. But I tell you what, I loved him. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, God used him. He had to back to Bethel an hour for 60 years on the radio. He preached everywhere. He carried on a lot while he's a preaching. But I tell you what, Brother Hull really helped me. I never will forget, as a young man, he said, I'm going to tell you what, son, sow good seed. Sow good seed. So good seed. Boy, he taught me that. I don't know what the time was. I'm not seeing a clock around here. I probably couldn't see it if it was back there. But I want to say, have you done what you could? Well, I want to tell you, one of these days we're going to face him. One of these days we're going to face him. I want to say a few things and give you some things this morning. I'm going to say, number one, it's the last week of the Lord's ministry. You know, there's some of the Psalms, I forget exactly what it is, where you can pinpoint the time in David's life. And boy, I preached that on David. David's my favorite Bible character. I want to tell you, I say this, David, out of all the Bible characters, David has helped me more than any other ones. His life. Somebody said, well, he messed up. Well, I'm going to tell you what, though, but there's some things that old David did. I'm going to say, number one, thank God he looked like a man and was rugged like a man. Amen. We in a society, I talked to a man last night, and they're wanting to try to get a superintendent put in the school systems. He said they're trying to come in Alabama. They're coming out with a curricular how to teach young children if they want to be another sex. If they girls, they want to be a boy, that's all right. And he said, Jerry, we got to keep this out of our school system. He said, boy, we need to get that man in as our superintendent. I said, yes, sir. But as we find here the results of his public ministry, these two things were emphasized. The deeply appreciation of his own and the steady heart of unbelief of his enemies. I wonder sometimes why people. I'll just share this. I never will forget years ago. I surrendered. One Sunday night, preached 2 weeks later, 6 months, to the church, and boy, they put up with me, and I appreciate that all the. But I didn't know anything, Brother Ernest. I'm honest before God, and I've been raised in church, but I'd never heard anybody to object. You know. And the first time we had this, we was going to support somebody. I said, anybody object? The man stood up and said, I do. And I said, but state your reason. He said, I ain't got one. I'm just against it. Amen. Boy, I want to tell you, that's where a lot of Baptists are. They just not for it. They just against it. Boy, I tell you, when you think about that, I didn't know. And then, I probably do it a little different now. We're just small, and my best men worked an evening shift. And I believe it was a man's place to, motions and seconds, you know. So there it was on that Wednesday night. I didn't have no men there. And I was caught up in tradition. I thought you had to have a business meeting. Can I tell you this? I got over that. Amen. Yeah, you don't have to have it once. It's good, you know. I call the count and amount, you know, to know what's going on. And all of a sudden, there's a man in the back stood up back there. He said, who made you dictator here? Boy, I tell you what, before God, I didn't know what I was going to do. My knees was knocking. I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? And then a little bit, he just sat down. But see, if I don't know what I'm supposed to, because he's not a member, I could say, you out of order, sit down, amen. But I did learn it after that. It never happened again, but I did learn it. I did. I did learn it, you know. And my boy, listen to me. God's been good to us at our church. I got some good folks. I'd stack them up against any man. I got 3 or 4 men I'd put against any man on knowledge. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, one of them got a gift of teaching. Two of them, but then I got one of the best song leaders that you'd ever heard. Boy, God's been good. I'd rather have a touch of God than 500 folks. Amen. Somebody said, "You lying, preaching off 500, scared me to death. I wouldn't know what to do anyhow." Well, lads, this redemption brings a sinner into the presence of the Lord, not trembling, but a perfect peace. Can you just imagine sitting down at the table eating with Jesus? Amen. Well, you got the privilege today. You can sit down at your table at the house, say the blessing. Fellowship with him. Fellowship with him. Oh, I want to say, when he restored Jairus' daughter, he gave her to her parents and the widow's son at Nain. He restored him to the mother. But with Lazarus, he rejoiced. And Jairus, the daughter, she was given back to him. But here we find him eating and fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, and without a little introduction, let me give you this. I want to say, number one, this supper. This supper, said they made him a supper. I want to say it was a togetherness supper. It was a Thanksgiving supper. Yeah, boy, they was thankful. Can you just imagine these two sisters? I mean, it's not been four lads that done died. Jesus got him up out of the grave, you know. And they're sitting down at that table. And they look over at Lazarus. And they look over at Jesus. Boy, I want to say what? It was a Thanksgiving supper. Amen. Well, I tell you what, that grand boy got saved the other day. Amen. Hey, I got to baptize him, you know. And he said, "You got any books?" He said, "You got any tapes?" I said, "I do. I'm giving him, boy, I want to keep him a steady stream going." He said, "I'll play them tapes while I'm going to work." Amen. And he said, "I'll read those others." I said, "Yes, sir, boy." Hey, listen, it's a Thanksgiving supper. You know what? We're not praising God enough in our Baptist churches. We're afraid of public opinion. Afraid of somebody. Oh boy, call me. He said, "Well, I don't know how to say this, but I want to ask you." He said, "What denomination are you?" I said, "We independent. We Baptist." Well, he said, "That's what I told the feather." So undoubtedly, had heard some. I don't know when it was. They don't get stirred up much around now. A lot of time during camp meeting, preachers come in. But I want to say what I encourage it. Amen. I remember one time, boy, my treasure, he's a jewel. He was my best man. He's very quiet. Man, he can dig stuff out of that Bible you wouldn't believe. Oh, he just has a little devotion. He's our Sunday school superintendent, but he's very reserved. He don't like to show no emotions. He don't like to weep. I seen him one Sunday morning. All of a sudden, God touched him. His face started flushing red. He started clearing his throat. He's not wanting to cry. He's not wanting to do anything. And I'm praying, "Oh God, pour it on him. Pour it on him." Amen. But anyhow, I was in a big well preaching one time. He always sits on the back seat. He shot that hand up. I said, "Man, I changed gears." Amen. All of a sudden, he went to scratch his back. I said, "Oh, I had a quick trigger." Amen, you know. Oh, but I tell you what, I love rejoicing when it's real. Oh, I love rejoicing. I enjoyed that good family singing there. I want to say, my friends, it was a Thanksgiving supper. Number two, it was a timely supper. It's the last week. It's not going to be long. Our Lord's going to go to the cross. Well, he looks around at those people. Undoubtedly, he had a standing invitation at their house. The Bible didn't say anything about him inviting him to come. He just went there. You know, we ought to have a standing invitation of our Lord at our house. Amen. He ought to be welcome, not just during revivals, not just during Sundays, but any time. Had to come in and sit with us. So it was a Thanksgiving supper, and it was a timely supper, and it was a togetherness supper. Now, you remember Mary and Martha before. Martha don't like it. She thinks she's doing all the work. She's kind of fussing. She said, "Why don't you tell her to get in here and help me?" Our Lord said, "She's chosen that which shall not be taken away from her." It was a togetherness supper. Oh, you know, it's not good when things are not right in the home. It's not good when things are not right at church. People hinder the services because they got ill will towards feeling. Boy, I tell you what, I learned this years ago. I started going to singings about every Saturday night. And I'm going a lot of churches I'd never been in before and have not been since. But I'd go in there, even though they didn't know me, I'd had people come and shake my hand, ask me my name, and said, give me a songbook. Said, would you like to lead a song? And I said, sometimes they would, sometimes they wouldn't. But you know, I went in some churches, nobody shook my hand, nobody asked my name. Man, you know, and I thought to myself, if I'm looking for a church, I wouldn't want to come here, huh? And boy, every Sunday morning, we kind of laid back over that window, you know, Brother Don. And boy, people would just be up, man, there'd be 15 or 20 more, just walking around talking. My brother started leading the singing there, and he said, "Ah, you bunch of talking Baptists, time to sit down now that we're going to sing." Boy, I want to tell you what, it was a together supper, amen. And then when people are hurting, you'll see one going to another and begin to ask them how they're doing. Oh, listen, I want to say it ought to be togetherness when you come to the Lord's house. I want to say the supper that they made him. And then I want to see the sight that was going on. We find Mary was in the floor pouring spikenard on the Lord's feet and using her hair for a towel. Can I just say everything was focused on him? Everything ought to be focused on him. But all ought to be about him. It ought to be about Jesus. Oh, my friends, when you think about getting everybody tuned in, if you allow me to say it that way, on the Lord Jesus. You know, sometimes when you come in church, you might have to sit there and just pray a little bit. Get your mind off of things that you're going to do that evening. Get your mind off of what's going to happen next week. And just look up at the man of God and say, God, help him. Lord, touch him this morning. Make it easy for him to preach. And God, move in the midst with us. If it be your will today. Oh, listen, everything was focused on him. The sight, and then everything was focused on him and her faith, her attitude. I cannot do too much. The way I understand this about this spikenard, it was a year's labor. Will you allow me to put it this way? It was her life savings. And she gave it. She gave it. I don't mean to toot my whistle, but when I started drawing my Social Security, old Brother Dean McNeese is with us. And I talked to him a little, and I said, you know, I'd really like to save if I could. Something happens to me for the wife, which I have tried to do that, but he said, Terry, don't forget God. Don't forget God. He said, give it to God, Terry. Man, I found out you can't outgive him. You can't outlove him. You can't outdo him. I got to complaining we have faith promise at the church. I said, God, you know, I've been trying to do this all these years. And I said, God, I want to try. And said, I said, I don't know if it ever comes in every week. You know, I said, I don't keep up with it. But I said, been kind of on the squeeze here lately. You know what God done? He's a man give me a check for $6,000 to pay on my car. Did you know that figured up 2 years, faith promise? God said, what about that, son? I said, I'm not going to complain no more, God. Amen. Hey, I'm going to tell you, you can't outgive him. You can't outlove him. I listen, I don't say, I double dog dare you, amen. Oh, I would say, you know, I got the thing, I want our church to be known, to have good liberty, but to be a giving church. I went to preach a meeting up there close to home. Two or three of my preacher friends had come in. I walked back there and I said, man, we got these boys here. Now it'd be a good night to take up off. And I was just joking, you know. There's a guy right there that goes to that church. He said, I have you know, there will not be no offering took up here. I started to say, yeah, and you'll be just like you are 5 years from now. I tell you what, you give and see what God does. See what God does for you. Oh, listen, she's focused on him. And then, my friend, there's faith. And then his face. Could there be a possibility of just a little doubt comes up in Mary's mind? She looks up in his face and he said, let her alone. Oh, what encouragement that must have been to her. I am doing right. I am pleasing him. He is accepting what I'm doing. I'm not doing it for a show. I'm not putting it on just for, I'm doing it for him. Because he said, let her alone. Amen. Oh, how that must have helped her. But then I want to show you a third thing that seems strange to the world. Yeah. They think you're a bunch of wackos in here on Monday morning, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, sitting on pews or in chairs, hearing somebody scream and holler. Somebody said, well, why do you go? I go to hear preaching, amen. I love preaching. I love all kind of preaching. Loud preaching. You know, I kind of want to be scriptural in mind. Isaiah said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, amen. Now, you don't have to do that. I've heard people, men preach soft, and man, it's breaking my bones, amen. I mean, they had a lot to say. Oh, it seems so strange to the world. Matter of fact, they called it a waste. That's what he said, that's a waste. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your money. All this is a waste. I want to tell you, God don't pay off on Fridays in October. He's coming a day when you're going to stand before him giving an account, huh? Oh, listen, with all of my heart, I want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Somebody said, well, it don't really make any difference how I live. Well, what do you think the millennium's going to be about? He let those 12 disciples, they're going to rule Israel. There's going to be some rulers over here. I believe that. Listen, God can't count on you now. He sure won't put you in no position then. Oh, it seems strange to the world. Did you know? I'm sure I did, but as far as I know, I had never heard a message on tithing. And the biggest challenge at the time, I had to move my membership to follow the Lord. And I know they accused me of running after the preacher. They accused a lot of things. But I got over there, and buddy, I wasn't there long. Boom, he preached on tithing. Huh? I just lined up with him. He said, do it, and I started doing it. We kept the veterans, as many as five, most of the time four, that foster home programs, and one was Lucky. Brother Don, did you meet Lucky? And I tell you, Lucky, he'd ask you three questions. How old you are, how much you weigh, how many kids you got, amen. Yeah, he was lucky, and so this ain't. He stayed at our house nearly a year, or over a year, several years. Never one time did his brother come see him. Never one time did his mother and daddy come see him. But this ain't would come twice a year. She'd bring him cookies and stuff around Christmas. I don't know what she'd do in the summer, you know. And I was over there, and I was making out my check. And, man, it wasn't much. I wasn't making very much, you know. And she turned to my mother. She said, you going to let that boy give that much money? If I remember correctly, it wasn't about $12. It wasn't a whole lot of money. I wasn't making much, but I wanted to give God a tithe off of it. Amen. So Mama said, he worked for it. It's his, he can do what he wants to with it. Now, I tell you what, I started pastoring the church. I thought tithing is tithe off what you brought home. I tell you what, that evangelist, he said, you don't pay taxes on what you bring home. You pay taxes on all of it. He said, you're to tithe on all of it. I said, all right, Lord, I just lined up with it. Amen. I just started giving that. Oh, listen, I want to say, it seems strange to the world. Oh, it's a waste. Our activity seems strange to the world. But I want to tell you what, there was the supper, and there was a sight, and it seemed strange to the world. But then the sounds of the Savior's words, let her alone. Have you done everything? Oh, boy, I thought about it, said, let her alone. You know, sometimes you do things. And I remember the valley I was in at this particular time. And it, boy, I tell you what, I'd prayed. For 5 months, I wept every day begging God. I said, God, why don't you do something? I don't understand why. Why won't you hear my prayer? I called up Dr. Ed McAbee. I talked with him. But the next day, I had the same place. I had the same place I was going in there. I can't explain it to you. My heart was at the lowest and the most hurt it ever been. But I got to look forward to going back there and talking to him and praying with him. Well, I'll tell you what, when I went in, I was needing something. I was needing something from the Savior that morning. And boy, when I laid down, it wasn't an audible voice. Woo, son! There's a peace swept in my heart that day. I said, I don't know how. I don't know when. But I said, God's going to do something other. Then my wife drove up, jumped out of the car. She said, you ain't going to believe what's going to happen. Amen. I said, run it by me. And the very thing that we'd been praying about, God brought it about. Amen. Can I just say, is there somebody here needing the word from him this morning? Somebody's heart's aching. Oh, the sound of the Savior's words. Let him alone. Boy, one of the time we're going to leave this old world. Boy, I'll tell you what, they ever think, him and Democrats against everything. Amen. Somebody said you ought to keep politics out of the church. I just might as well hit all of them. Amen. You know. Can I just say this? I don't believe a man can be one, be right with God. That's my opinion. That's just my opinion. I don't know. How can you vote for a man that's against killing babies? How can you vote for a man to leave it up to a child if they want to be a boy or a girl? How in God's heaven can you be for that? Oh, listen, I want to say, then let me give you a couple more things up through here. Now watch this. Don't you notice the smell? The smell. I want to say, number one, it was a pleasing smell. And I want to say, number two, it was a penetrating smell. Not only was it in the room, but it made its way outside. And not only did it make its way outside, it went all the way around the world. He said, over there, everywhere that you read about her, you're going to know about what she done. He didn't say that about no other man. Amen. It's just about Mary. Oh, she said it was a pleasing smell and a penetrating smell. But can I say this? It was a permanent smell. Oh, yeah. When you think about this smell. And you know, when you begin to look at scriptures and think about this, and the Lord had a very unique verse in the book of Amos, I believe it is. Let me see. I can just about quote it, but I want to be exactly right on this. This is in the book of Amos, chapter number 5. If I can find it. Amos chapter 5. I didn't have it here in my notes. Give me just a second. Oh, here it is. Amos chapter 5. Would you look at verse? I believe it's Amos chapter 5. Oh, yeah, here it is. Would you look at verse 21? He said, I hate, I despise your feast days. I will not, what's that word? Smell your solemn assemblies. Did you know this service has a smell this morning? The Bible talks about that prayer, a sweet smell. Oh, yeah. Sometimes you get in services, you know, and you get outside and you say, man, that was just a sweet service, wasn't it, huh? Oh, I'm going to tell you that there was this smell, my friends. Got Matthew and Mark, the memorial that goes about the box, the ointment, you know, and the fragrance of the Lord Jesus. But then if you go over there, I'm trying to think of which one it was. He was about blind. And one of his boys was a hunter and stayed in the field. And the other one stayed around mother. And then they switched on him, you know. And he's about blind. And he couldn't see. And he said, come here. Let me smell of you. Amen. You know what's going on in our church today? You know what the smell is? Too much flesh. They're pumping up flesh. They're trying to work it up. Pump it up. Man, I just like a family get up here and harmonize like that family did this morning. Boy, I tell you, there's too much flesh in our churches. Now, I don't guess there's anything wrong with it. But what's wrong with having a songbook and open it and sing it together? Do you have to have it on the wall? I mean, it's handy. I agree with you on that. You don't have to have a book. But I'll tell you what, I had this guy, he come to church. And, he's rough. Well, I say rough. He had a teardrop in his eye. And my grandma says, Papa, you know what that means? I said, no. He said, that means somebody died. He either killed somebody or something. I said, you joking? He said, uh-uh. So I asked him, he said, well, it's in honor of my mother and grandmother that passed away. Well, he's got a different woman now. He come in the other day, but I noticed the his mother-in-law, or to-be mother-in-law, I noticed her had the little boy and showing him how to follow the words to it. I said, yep, she's been to church, baby. Oh, yeah. She's been to church. She knows how to sing. She's teaching that boy how to sing, baby. Oh, listen, ain't nothing wrong with that. Of course, I went to singing school. I didn't learn anything, but I could have learned it. I did know about 4/4 time, and I did know about 6/8. I did learn those two things. And then, but boy, I want to tell you, it was a pleasing smell. It was a penetrating smell. It was a permanent smell. Oh, he said there, oh, I despise your feast days. He said, I don't like what's going on. Can I just say this? I wonder if God's in some of these churches. You go in, you don't sense their presence, His presence. I don't mean to be judgmental. I'm just simply saying, you know, I like going in, and man, all of a sudden, the breeze will come through, and you say, hey, boy, I tell you what, I think it's going to be good this morning, amen. And I tell you what, I like it when it gets on, amen. Oh, I encourage it. Somebody said, well, now, why don't God do that all the time? I've asked Him that. I guess if it got on every service, you'd not appreciate it like it does. But oh, I tell you what, I like it when it does get on. I give you this, I'm through. I want to say, my friends here, the supper, the sight, the seems strange, the sounds of the Savior's words, the smell, but it all started with Mary sitting at His feet. Anyone and everyone, men and women, can spend time with Him. It all started when they bowed His feet, and one day it's going to end. Embalming Him, she embalmed herself of love, being the marble on which the name and deeds were sculptured. Mary gave Christ a monetary embalming. He embalmed her memory for the sweet incense to His praise. What a witness this is at Christ. We'll never forget the deed, however small it's done, my friends, when it's to lift up and to praise His holy name. Well, I'm glad every now and then He lets me know I need to do more. I need to do more. Well, I pray somehow God might have helped us, helped you this morning. All right, preacher.